With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woohooer, a hand clapper, a high fiver? I kind of like the high five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At chumbacasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses. So don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions 18 plus.
It's time to play like a Jet
with your host, Scott Mason.
Play like a Jet. What does that mean?
Drops the throw, steps up, floats a bomb up the right seam, looking for Anderson. He's got it. They're not going to catch him. He's going to go the distance. Touchdown. Sam Darnold dials it up to Robbie Anderson. 92 yards.
Anderson, too much deflected. And picked up Rosie. He'll take it in. It's a pick six and a touchdown.
Bell. Into the middle of that line, and it's a touchdown.
Big return for Crowder, 85 yards.
Pass thrown, there was contact with the quarterback, and it's incomplete. They got pressure on Prescott. It was Adams who came blitzing in.
Hill hit immediately when he got the handoff.
You know who that's?
The Q-inator.
Oh my gosh.
Listen, thank you.
From the TOJ Digital Studios, this is Play Like a Jet. My name is Scott Mason. You can follow me on Twitter at PlayLikeAJet1. And it's time for Midweek with Manish, the beat reporter and columnist covering the New York Jets for the New York Daily News, Mr. Manish Mehta. Manish, you recently wrote in the Daily News about something that Joe Douglas is going to have to succeed at, that his predecessor, and let's be honest, the two guys before him, Tannenbaum and Idzik, were terrible at, which is hitting on draft picks on day three. Now, it's obviously not a slam dunk when you're talking about rounds 4 through 7, but the successful teams are the ones that at least get useful players in those rounds, because as we know, Manish, especially when you have a quarterback who's paid a lot of money, you need to be able to hit on cheap players that can come in and do something for you, because that's the only way that you're going to stay competitive if that much of your cap is tied up in your quarterback. Jets aren't going to have to deal with that for a little bit, but still, having those players that you hit on late in the draft becomes a very, very important thing for building a sustainable winner. So let's talk about this a little bit. Where do you think Mike Maccagnan went wrong, and what is Joe Douglas going to have to do to change that?
Well, I think if you reduce it to simplest terms, he's just going to have to unearth players that aren't household names or guys on the marquee coming out of college. What was interesting to me is that of the 20 players that Maccagnan drafted on day three, so rounds 4 through 7, of those 20 players in 5 drafts, only 6 of them are under contract for next season. Only 8 of them played for the Jets last year. Now, Brandon Schell and Lachlan Edwards are scheduled to be unrestricted free agents. I don't believe Brandon Schell has any chance of returning as a starter. We'll see if they bring him back as a backup, because, again, I don't know what his market value is, but I would anticipate that Schell would not be back. Lachlan Edwards, even though I believe has been productive, now he's played in every game since he got drafted, 64 games in 4 years. I don't necessarily believe that Adam Gase believes in Lachlan Edwards, because if you remember, the Jets actually had a punting competition in training camp. They brought in a punter who had worked, or I should say, who had played for Adam Gase in Miami They didn't have a kicking competition, which made no sense because of how erratic that position was, but they did have a punting competition, and that leads me to believe that maybe Adam Gase isn't necessarily sold on Edwards. We'll see if they bring Edwards back. But, you know, 6 of 20 players under contract from day 3 over the last 5 years, that's not a good hit rate. And I'm not saying that you need to find Pro Bowl players on day 3 because that's exceedingly difficult. But you need more production out of that position. And if you take away Edwards, you've got 19 players who were drafted as offensive or defensive players. Of those 19, they've only generated 86 starts. And Brandon Schell, believe it or not, had the most of those 86 starts. He had 40 of them. So if you take Brandon Schell out of the equation, that leaves 18 offensive and defensive players drafted between rounds 4 and 7 in the Mike Maccagnan regime. And of those 18 players produced 46 starts. So an average of basically 2.5 starts per player. That's just not good enough. You need more production. What I thought was interesting is that Maccagnan really whiffed on day 3 in his first 3 drafts, complete whiffs. But in the last 2 drafts that he had, he actually found guys who had some promise, chief among them, Chris Herndon. Now, Herndon obviously missed last season, but I think every Jet fan would admit that, you know, he's a player with potential. Foley Fatakasi is another guy who kind of had a redshirt rookie year, but then showed promise this past season. Blake Cashman, if he can ever stay healthy, showed that, you know, he can be a productive player in a complementary role, as in a backup role, but still somebody who, you know, can give you something in, you know, on defense, special teams. And then we already mentioned Bless Austin, who was also taken in the final day of Maccagnan's final draft. So you've got, you know, a handful of players who could be productive for you in his last 2 seasons. The first 3 seasons were complete whiffs. You know, Jarvis Harrison, Justin Burris, Jeremy Clark, Dylan Donahue, Chad Hansen. You know, some of these guys are not even in the NFL right now. So, you know, you ask me what does Joe Douglas need to do differently? I mean, I think it's as simple as, you know, finding players that nobody else, you know, or very few people are in love with. And that's just not Joe Douglas's responsibility. Obviously, the ultimate responsibility falls on Joe Douglas, but that goes to his scouting staff. And his scouting staff, by and large, is, you know, similar to Mike Maccagnan's scouting staff. So we're talking about the same core group of people. Now, can they find these guys who can, you know, be mainstays, who can actually be on the team beyond 1, 2, 3, or 4 years? You know, 5 years from now, if Joe Douglas is still around, he needs to have more than 6 of 20 players under contract. You know, he needs to have, you know, at least 50% of the guys he drafted on day 3 still be around in some capacity and helping out, you know, in some capacity, having some role. And, you know, we've discussed, I know Jet fans have discussed Mike Maccagnan's track record throughout the draft, but, you know, it's a lot easier, and even though Maccagnan has his pitfalls early, it's a lot easier to find players in the top 6 or the top 3 who can be productive for you. It's much more difficult, and it really separates you as a general manager when you hit on day 3. And I think a lot of good general managers, not all of them, some of them are just great in free agency, but I think a lot of good general managers are able to unearth some of these guys. And frankly, I don't know if Joe Douglas can do that. I know just looking at his drafts in Philadelphia, and this is unfair to a certain extent because Douglas did not have final say, but he certainly had a role in the process. When you look at his drafts in Philadelphia, to be honest with you, they weren't particularly impressive. But again, there's a lot of nuance involved. Howie Roseman obviously had the final say as the general manager. Their owner, Jeffrey Lurie, I believe, had some role in some picks as well. So it's unfair to just look at all of those drafts in Philly and say, well, they weren't that good, so why should we believe in Joe Douglas? That being said, you cannot absolve Joe Douglas of responsibility because he was one of the chief decision makers, you know, in that core group. And when you look at that, you know, those drafts when he was in Philly, they just weren't particularly impressive. I think, you know, you can just look at the names and they weren't jumping off the page. So is there some concern? Perhaps. I think it's more of an unknown because now Joe Douglas is going to have the final say, and we're going to find out a lot over the next several years, because you're not going to, you know, judge a draft after one season, but you're going to, you know, get an idea of, you know, what Joe Douglas is all about and whether he can mine some of that talent that you know, some teams overlook.
The draft is arguably the most important part of what Joe Douglas is going to have to do in terms of constructing the roster. But he's also going to have to decide who he wants to bring in as a free agent. He's going to have to decide who he wants to keep as far as who's already here. And that's not just internal free agents, but also guys that are under contract that he has to decide whether or not he wants to move on from. So Manish, I wanted to go through some of these with you and see what you think in terms of odds of them being back with the Jets in 2020. Let's start in the secondary. We know Tremaine Johnson's going to be gone. What's the story with Daryl Roberts?
Yeah, I don't think, I'll put it this way. I think it makes financial sense to move on from Daryl Roberts because he's making $6 million, which is probably more than what his production suggested he should make. Now, he was coming off a career season in 2018, and he got rewarded with a good contract, but he's coming off a forgettable season in 2019. That being said, he's not chopped liver. I think he can still be an important piece to the secondary. Whether that means in a complimentary backup role, I just don't know if paying $6 million for a backup cornerback makes much sense. Maybe you want him to test the market, see what else is out there. But from a financial sense, clearing $6 million off your cap would make the most sense. So that's a roundabout way of me saying that, just from a nuts and bolts numbers perspective, I think it would make sense to cut Daryl Roberts.
How about Avery Williamson?
Well, Avery Williamson is interesting because there was a chance that Avery Williamson would have been traded before the start of the 2019 season if he did not get hurt in Atlanta in that preseason game. They were open to moving him. He's owed about $8.5 million. They don't have much dead money, maybe a quarter of that in dead money. So they'll save $6 million in change somewhere in that neighborhood if they cut him. He's an inside linebacker. As you know, and every Jet fan knows, C.J. Mosley is also an inside linebacker, and he's making more than $17 million, or he's counting, I should say, more than $17 million against the 2020 cap. Investing $25, $26 million at the inside linebacker position is a little bit dicey. And I've said this before, if Joe Douglas were the general manager heading into free agency last year, he would have never signed C.J. Mosley for that price tag, specifically because that's a lot of money to invest in an inside linebacker. But Joe Douglas cannot do anything about that because for all intents and purposes, Mosley has a three-year deal. He's going to get his guaranteed money in his first 3 years. So he's not going anywhere. So you're going to have that big chunk of your cap allotted to your inside linebacker. I don't think it makes, frankly, much sense to pour in an additional $8, $9 million for a second inside linebacker when you got fairly good production out of that second inside linebacker position from lesser-known guys, whether it was Neville Hewitt, James Burgess. I think the Jets would be okay and fine, frankly, with one of those guys plugging in at that spot. So if you can save $6.5 million by cutting Avery Williamson, that's probably the smart thing to do. My gut, and I don't know definitively yet, but my gut tells me that Avery Williamson will no longer be a Jet in a few weeks.
Let's shift to the offense and start with Brian Winters. What do you think is going to happen there?
I think they're going to move on from Brian Winters. I mean, it makes a lot of sense financially. There is no dead money. They save about $7 million. And Brian Winters, he's a Jet draft pick, really a good teammate. Guy has an incredible pain threshold. So that should tell you how much pain he was actually in, that he had to be put on IR and ultimately had surgery. He gets banged up a lot. He's creeping up on 30. I think he's about 20. I don't know if he's 29 yet, but he's getting close to 30. I think that the Jets' plan is to revamp the offensive line, and that includes the guard spot. They do want to bring back Alex Lewis, so that's a guy I believe they'll re-sign. I think, however, the other guard spot's going to come via free agency in all likelihood. And for as good of a teammate as Brian Winters has been, I don't think I don't think he'll be back, at least at his current salary. You know, who knows what his market value is going to be because he is coming off surgery. Is there potential to bring him back at a reduced rate later? Perhaps. I guess it all depends on what his market is going to be. I don't know what his market's going to be, but I think in terms of bringing him back at his current contract, you know, $7-plus million, I don't think that's going to happen.
Here's one that's going to be somewhat controversial. Quincy Enunwa, considering everything that went down with the injury and then the problem that he had with the front office and the coaching staff when he went on social media and went public with what was going on, he's a fan favorite. We know that he's good when he's healthy, but he's very rarely healthy. We don't even know if he's going to be able to play again because of numerous neck injuries. What do you think is going to happen there?
I don't think that Quincy is going to be playing for the Jets again. My gut tells me that Quincy is no longer going to be playing football. We'll see if that comes to fruition. But I firmly believe he will not be a Jet. What's interesting and what will be the sticking point is when he gets his physical, whether he can pass his physical or fail his physical. That line of demarcation is early in the league year. I don't remember what day it is, but it's basically a month from now. He's got $6 million that's guaranteed for injury. He also, remember, now is under contract for 2021, and he's got guaranteed money coming. Part of that money in 2021 is also guaranteed. So let's just say he fails his physical. And if the Jets cut him, it's an interesting dynamic because he's going to get about $10 million if they cut him. And if they do that, there's an exorbitant cost on this 2020 salary cap, somewhere in the neighborhood of, I don't remember, $10, $12 million, something like that. So it doesn't actually behoove the Jets to cut him if he fails his physical because they'd be on the hook for about $10 million. The cap ramifications for this year would be $10 to $12 million. There's a way that you can put him on a PUP list, and he won't be playing. I don't think it's going to necessarily matter for him because, again, I don't think he's going to be playing football. That's just my gut feeling. You could cut him a year from now, and you'd still owe him some money, but it wouldn't be. You know, I think there's a lot of gray area with Enunwa. If the Jets want to play hardball, I guess they could do that. If they do that, I would fully anticipate Enunwa going after the $10 million or so million dollars that he has owed to him, in a grievance through the NFL Players Association. That will happen if the Jets try to, for lack of a better word, screw him out of the $10 million that he believes he's owed. There is no clean break unless the Jets are willing to absorb the big salary cap hit in 2020 and pay him $10 million. If they do that, it's a clean break. Thank you for your service, and both parties kind of move on. But anything short of that could get a little dicey, but I don't believe, when it's all said and done, that Quincy Enunwa will ever play a game with the Jets again.
Manish, let's go around the horn in terms of Jets players that are free agents internally and see what we think as far as how likely it is that they're going to return in 2020. In the secondary, there are three guys. One specifically that everybody talks about is Brian Poole, but the other two who started a fair amount of games throughout the season were Arthur Millette and Maurice Kennedy. How likely do you think it is that those three guys come back?
Wow, you're digging deep. Arthur Millette. Look, I think there's a place for Arthur Millette. I don't know off the top of my head. Maybe you can help me out. I don't know what his salary cap ramification would be. Oh, you're saying he's an unrestricted free agent. I'm sorry.
All these guys that I'm about to mention are unrestricted free agents.
I guess if you get him for the cheap, you could bring him back. Same thing with Kennedy. I would think that Greg Williams has, gotten a good enough sample size whether he knows whether he wants those guys back. And this will probably be a Greg Williams decision. He doesn't have control of the 53-man roster, of course. That goes to Joe Douglas. But, if there are other guys that are going to shake free and available, and I can't honestly and intelligently speak on, third and fourth tier cornerbacks who are going to be free agents. I just don't know off the top of my head who they are. I don't know if there's somebody that has grabbed Greg Williams' attention. These guys, if they do come back, these are going to be guys that are going to be later signings. There isn't going to be any kind of real market for any of them. So perhaps these are guys they bring back after the draft, because remember, they can fortify through the draft, bringing cornerbacks in. They're not priorities. I think that's a fair thing for me to say. And ultimately, you know, if you're going to bring a depth guy back a week or two after the draft, or maybe before training camp, maybe you do that. But I think it's fair to conclude that neither one of those guys is going to be in high demand.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino. Asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino.
That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Play like a Jet. Play like a Jet.
Let's talk linebacker now, because the Jets have a couple of guys that started a lot of games for them this year, partially due to injury, but still, we brought them up before. James Burgess is a free agent. Neville Hewitt is also a free agent. Brandon Copeland is a free agent. And the big one, Jordan Jenkins, also a free agent. What do you think with those guys?
Neville Hewitt's a useful player. He's a guy that Adam Gase liked from his time in Miami. With Hewitt, it's always about health. He dealt with the neck stinger. He had previously dealt with neck issues in Miami. He's a good player, for the price, without a doubt. I think he's a productive player for the price. He's a guy I think you can bring back. James Burgess, same thing. James Burgess was a guy that Greg Williams obviously had experience working with in Cleveland, and he surprised. He did a lot better than I thought, and he's going to be cheap. So I think it would make sense to bring him back. He understands the system. He was productive. You're not expecting miracles, out of those guys. So I would bring both of those guys back because, again, they're going to be affordable. They're familiar with the system. They're familiar with this coaching staff, and they were productive. They're not going to be Pro Bowlers, but they were quality players, and you need pieces like that to fill out your roster and your depth. And we talked about the struggles that Maccagnan had on day three. Well, that's where you get your depth from. You get it from acquiring good players late in the draft and from picking up good finds late in free agency, or lower level guys who understand what you're trying to do, whether it's offensively or defensively, and guys that you don't have to commit a lot of money to. And I think that Hewitt and Burgess fall into that category.
Three offensive linemen who started a significant number of games for the Jets in 2019 are unrestricted free agents: Alex Lewis, Kelvin Beachum, and Brandon Schell. How likely do you think it is that those three guys return?
Well, I think Lewis will be back. They will make an effort to bring back Lewis. Beachum, to me, is fascinating. He really is, because he was their best offensive lineman. I thought he was productive. He played with an ankle injury for a few games. He's a leader, one of the team captains, highly respected in the building. I don't know what kind of market he's going to get, but I know that the Jets are going to be looking for tackles, right tackle, left tackle, in free agency, in the draft. I know that they value him. I don't know how much they value him from a dollars perspective. I don't think it's the worst thing in the world, and I guess it depends on who else they bring in free agency. If they sign a right tackle in free agency, if they sign an interior lineman in free agency, and they bring back Beecham, and then they draft a tackle with the 11th pick if they don't trade up or down. Let's just say that that's the scenario. I think that's a smart approach. I know there's other smart approaches, but I think that bringing Beecham back, drafting a young tackle, and then having that young tackle ultimately replace Beecham in 2021 kind of makes sense. You know, I look at the Eagles and what they did this past season, you know, drafting Andre Dillard to ultimately take over for Jason Peters. I think they're happy with that choice. You know, they were happy with bringing the veteran back, and they were happy with trading up for this young tackle who they believe can ultimately be their left tackle for the next decade. I think they could take a similar approach with Beecham. Now, I do know that they want one of their starting tackles, at least one, to come from free agency. So I guess that leads me into the third guy, Brandon Schell. Brandon Schell will not be the starting right tackle for the Jets. I don't think he'll be back. Would I rule out the possibility that he could come back on a cheap deal as a backup? No, I can't rule that out right now, but they don't view him as the future at right tackle. Because remember, they still have Chuma and Doga on his rookie deal, and he can play, in theory, both positions. Now, he didn't play particularly well as a rookie, but that doesn't mean that, you know, he can't develop and grow. I just think that, you know, bringing back Beecham, drafting a tackle, and having that tackle perhaps play on the right side, depending on who they bring in free agency, or flip starting on the right side, flipping to the left side. There's just a lot of different options that and a lot of flexibility that you can bring if you re-sign Beecham. Now, if they move on from Beecham, then they're going to have to answer that left tackle spot in free agency. I don't believe that they're going to draft a tackle at 11 and then ask that guy from week one to protect Sam Darnold's blind side. I think they want a veteran on the left side. Ideally, they'd want a veteran on both sides, but at least for 2020. But I know that they ultimately want to solve one of their tackle positions for the next decade in the draft, and that will, in all likelihood, come on day one. If not, it'll come day two. So, Beecham, if I had to handicap it, I would say there's probably a 40% chance he comes back, so a better than likely chance that he does not come back. It probably won't be for lack of trying, because I think they'll make an offer. I just, left tackles are in such rare supply that, perhaps he'll get another opportunity somewhere else. But 40-60, those are not great odds. So yeah, that's essentially me saying 50-50 that I don't know. But what I do know is that Brandon Schell will not be the right tackle, and they would like Alex Lewis to come back. When it's all said and done, I think you're going to be looking at probably three new starters along the offensive line.
Should also mention that Tom Compton is a free agent as well, and he started a fair amount of games for the Jets. Do you think he comes back, and do you think there's any chance that we see Ty Montgomery or Bilal Powell back in 2020?
Tom Compton, you'll see how the free agency and the draft shakes out before determining whether they want to bring him back. Remember, they signed him late this past season. If they decide to bring him back, it wouldn't be until later, until their picture crystallizes, from free agency, and they get a good sense of what they might need in terms of a quality, reliable backup who is cheap, and that's the category that Tom Compton falls under. In terms of Ty Montgomery and Bilal Powell, that's really interesting, because Bilal Powell was effective, in limited times. He was effective. Adam Gase trusts him, and that goes a long way. That matters. But you do have to, when you're looking at Bilal Powell and Ty Montgomery, you kind of have to weigh what else is out there and what other free agents are available that could fulfill a role that Adam Gase deems as valuable. Because, yes, Gase trusts Bilal Powell. When he looked at what he had in the running back room, he really liked what he saw in Bilal Powell. And remember, they brought Bilal Powell back, I believe, after Maccagnan was fired. I don't think Mike Maccagnan had any designs on re-signing Bilal Powell. That was more Adam Gase-driven, and that has value. You know, as I mentioned about Greg Williams, you know, bringing back guys that he likes, Adam Gase is going to have an opportunity to bring back guys that he likes, especially guys that are going to be cheap. And that's what Ty Montgomery and Bilal Powell will be. I don't believe that Joe Douglas is going to stand in Adam Gase's way, nor should he, when it comes to players of that caliber, that ilk. If your coach and your defensive coordinator want somebody because they think that they make the most sense for their scheme and they're going to cost you peanuts, relatively speaking, then you would be doing a disservice as a general manager if you didn't oblige, if you didn't help your head coach and your defensive coordinator in this situation. So I really think when you're talking about guys like Bilal Powell, Ty Montgomery, backup running backs, I really do think that Adam Gase, rightfully so, is going to have a big say in who comes back, because, again, it won't be a big financial commitment, and it's not going to be something that's going to strain Joe Douglas in terms of stretching the salary cap or trying to fit a guy in, in making adjustments with other players' contracts to fit a guy in. You know, these guys are simple contracts, pretty seamless deals, cheap deals, and if Gase wants a particular player, he should get him.
And now the big one, Manish. Let's talk a little wide receiver. Do you think Demaryius Thomas is coming back? Okay, that's not really the big part of this, but he is a free agent, so I'm curious to know if you think there's any chance he comes back even on a one-year deal. Gase seems to like him. Of course, the big one is Robbie Anderson. He's going to have plenty of options. We know that. It looks like he's going to get a lot of money, and he deserves it because he is the top of the free agent class, and if you look at what Tyrell Williams got last year, seems like a little bit of a bump from that would make some sense. What do you think here? Does Robbie end up staying, and is it possible that Demaryius Thomas comes back for another year?
I think if Robbie Anderson comes back, it will be because the market wasn't what he thought it would be for him, because I do not believe that the Jets are going to outbid another team for Robbie Anderson. I think they value him to a certain extent, but they aren't going to break the bank for him when I do think that there is another team out there. And I'm not saying I know the other team, but I'm saying that there will be another suitor out there that is willing to pay more for Robbie. And I don't believe that Joe Douglas is going to get into any kind of bidding situation or bidding war to retain Robbie Anderson. That's not to say that they don't think he's a quality player, and they don't think he'd be good for them, because they do. It's just a matter of putting a value, a financial value, on every player, and I don't believe that, you know, their maximum for Robbie Anderson is going to match the maximum that another team is going to have for him. So if he comes back, that means there'd be a depressed market for wide receivers in free agency. And I don't believe there will be, because when you look at the potential free agents, Amari Cooper, if he somehow hits the open market, I don't think he will. I think the Cowboys will keep him in-house. But if he does hit the open market, he obviously would be the headliner. A.J. Green is 31 years old. I don't believe that he's a good fit for the Jets. I don't believe that he thinks the Jets are a good fit for him. So he's off the table. And then you have Robbie Anderson, who is hitting the prime of his career, 26, 27 years old. You know, I think there's a lot of good football in Robbie Anderson. I don't know if he becomes a Pro Bowl player or not, but I do think he can improve as a player, and he has shown that he can improve as a player. Now, it's been really disjointed because he showed that he could improve as a player toward the end of 2018 and then sputtered through the first half, three quarters of 2019, and then showed that he can improve at the end of 2019 as well. So I think that it would be beneficial for the Jets to bring him back. I would pay him, $12 million, $13 million, whatever it is. I do not believe that Joe Douglas will do that. The only reason I'm saying that I would pay him is because the Jets have so much cap space. And, yes, they're going to use a lot of cap space on offensive line and other positions, edge rusher, if there's somebody suitable out there that shakes free. But I still think there's enough space available to bring back Robbie Anderson. I just don't think the Jets will do it. I think they'll bring in a veteran guy, stopgap guy, and there's a ton of wide receivers in this draft. This is a very wide receiver friendly draft. If you are looking for somebody at that position, you can get somebody, and not at number 11. I would not anticipate the Jets would have any real interest in drafting a receiver at 11. However, you can get somebody in round 2, in round 3. You know, day 2, you can get a difference-making player at the wide receiver position in the draft. I think you can get somebody early in day 3 as well. That's how deep I think this position is, and that's how deep I think scouts, general managers, player evaluators across the league think. So I think the Jets will be content with going that route, bringing in a stopgap guy. You know, in terms of Demaryius Thomas, look, Demaryius Thomas is a solid guy. He's a great leader. People in that room really respect him. He does things the right way. I think, however, the Jets saw that a guy like Vincent Smith could be productive in his place, you know, at peanuts, peanuts compared to what they'd have to pay the veteran minimum for Demaryius Thomas. I also think you have to factor in when Chris Herndon comes back, you'll have Chris Herndon and Ryan Griffin playing, you know, having those two guys really not that much different than having Demaryius Thomas take up one of those spots as well. So, you know, having those two healthy tight ends could help you, you know, say thanks but no thanks to bringing back Demaryius Thomas. So even though Adam Gase has a good history with Demaryius Thomas and really respects him immensely, I just don't think that it makes much sense to bring him back. I'm not saying that they won't, but that's really in the back burner of their thinking. If he's not anybody who's going to be that they're going to be racing to re-sign, I don't think.
I think that if Demaryius Thomas comes back, there are going to be a lot of disappointed Jets fans. And I think that if Robbie Anderson doesn't come back, there's going to be a lot of disappointed Jets fans. And I think there's a decent chance that those two things happen. So buckle up, because things are about to get interesting. Manish Mehta of the New York Daily News, thanks for coming on. As always, really appreciate it. Go ahead and follow Manish on Twitter. Read his work in the New York Daily News. If you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet, go ahead and do that if you could, please. If you enjoy the show, it's an easy way to help us out. It doesn't cost you any money. It doesn't take you much time, but it does a lot for us, so we'd really appreciate it. And, of course, as always, for the latest and greatest in New York Jets podcasts, you know where to go. That's Turn on the Jets Digital and TurnOnTheJets.com.
Okay, round 2. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.